Oh, yeah. Well, I'm riding. Good morning, y'all. Singing the same old cowboy song. What a great Arizona Saturday morning. Been sung 100 times before. Time to rise and shine. Ain't got nothing
but my name. It's crack of noon.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I know the blame, but I'm living. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm free. Good morning, Arizona. Just listen to the wind. If you know somebody's still asleep, call them, wake them up. Let's get it going. Like my grandpa Raymond always said, anybody sleeps past 5 a.m. on Saturday morning can't be trusted. He's got too much free time. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, where we've got a packed show this morning. Clean up to 11 o'clock this morning. Stick with us. You won't believe everything you'll learn. Here in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got special guest, Mr. Jim Paxson, who is special assistant to the director at the Arizona Game and Fish Department. And boy, we have a full calendar of things to talk about here. Y'all got a lot going on. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us, Rosie.
It's great to be here.
Man, this is a nice winter.
Absolutely.
This is nice. Plenty of moisture just falling all the way around. We've missed a lot of the winter this year. Jennifer and I traveled to Duluth, Minnesota for Christmas. Not going to do that again.
You found some winter up there, didn't you?
Not going to do that again.
Denver this week.
Yeah, we were just in Denver looking at colleges for our baby girl and where she might attend school. But, boy, it's always good to get back. But, boy, that flight from Phoenix to Denver, sure a pretty flight right now.
Oh, yeah, a lot of white, isn't there?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The snowpack is good, huh?
We're blessed. This is a great change for us in the Southwest Desert.
Did I hear correctly? This is the strongest El Nino on record since 1983?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bring it on, right?
More to come, you bet.
We'll take all of it we can get.
This will actually go through about March, maybe even into April, if it continues to be a strong pulse from the Pacific. But we got more moisture to come, so we're going to have a lot of growth in our browse, in our forbs, a lot of food for deer, a lot of water for wildlife. It's going to be just a really good year.
Should be a great show of flowers as well in the spring.
It sure should.
Oh, yeah. The desert's so gorgeous when we do get winter moisture.
Yeah. And so we're going to be probably, I don't know what we are. I should have pulled up the website where we are according to annual average right now. But they were anticipating that we could hit our annual average by before in the first quarter in many parts of the state.
Well, I read in the Republic that we had 4 inches of rain in a week in Phoenix. So that's not quite a record, but it's a lot of moisture.
That's almost half our annual average.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess we're right on track. But the El Nino weather like this is just so healthy. It's healthy for everything except bridges on the Interstate 10. Right?
We'll fix them and make them stronger.
Fix them and make them. But it's great for the flora, the fauna, the wildlife. I mean, everything.
The
air, yeah, sure. Cleans everything up. What are y'all expecting in the way of just what this will do? Because, I mean, the grass grows. It allows for a higher rate of fawn survival, right?
You bet.
All the deer and the antelope and the elk and everything.
Yeah. With this new forage, you know, it's very nutritious. It's palatable. The old stemmy stuff is kind of like spinach to a kid. They'd rather have ice cream. There's a lot of ice cream growing out there.
Yeah.
And the animals are going to do well. They'll have stored up fat and energy. Makes birthing better and easier. Everything. You know, we've seen stock tanks fill up this winter that haven't had water in them for 5 years and more.
How great is that?
And that water, available water, is the key thing for wildlife in the Southwest.
I do quite a bit of hiking through the desert this time of year from October to February.
That's behind a bird dog, isn't it?
I'm seeing a lot of ducks.
Yeah.
A lot of ducks.
Yeah.
So I I think DU was reporting that they were saying this was as high a duck harvest as they've ever recorded.
Is that right?
That's what I heard.
Well, you know, they're a water animal, and they see water from the sky, then they'll descend and see if there's feed there. So just makes sense. We've got available water, so that's going to draw the ducks.
Let's jump down the list here a little bit. This is a great opportunity. Y'all have a great seminar coming up, Becoming an Outdoors Woman at Saguaro Lake.
You bet.
Talk a little bit about what y'all do at those week. It's a weekend?
It is.
A couple days? Yeah.
It's
okay.
three days.
Okay.
Yep. And Becoming an Outdoor Woman, women only, no husbands allowed, no boyfriends allowed. It's just the women. Women instructors, game department instructors and contractors. And it teaches women about the outdoors. They get to sample shooting, archery. There's opportunity to go hunting if they want to. They get a lot of lectures on how wildlife works in wild settings. It's they get to camp. They're going to do some cooking over a campfire. And a lot of it is just being introduced to the wonders of the outdoors and the wonders of wildlife. And it's done in a very non-threatening, very easy way for women to be introduced. And we see a lot of ladies go on from that to pursue fishing and hunting and really enjoy the outdoors. But it's not about fishing and hunting. It's about getting into the outdoors and the love of wildlife and appreciating God's natural wonders.
Now, how would a woman register for that?
You can go online at our website, the www.azgfd.gov, and just search BOW, become a outdoor woman.
Okay.
Yep. And they can sign up.
There's a cost associated with that?
There is. I believe it's $180 for the 3 days, but you bring your bedding and everything else is supplied.
Oh.
Meals, lectures, trips. They do some field trips. Everything's provided. And this is pretty close into Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's a very reasonable price as well for 3 whole days.
And Saguaro Lake Ranch is kind of a little historic little place right there below the Saguaro Lake Dam. And it's kind of a neat little place all by itself.
Yes, and you know, there's still some openings, so that's just this next weekend. So folks need to take advantage of that, and ladies, sign up now.
All right. Some of the other things y'all are watching closely right now, the Mexican wolf.
Well, this is our count time. We'll actually start flying grids with a helicopter with the doors off, you know, about Duluth, Minnesota temperatures. and we've got collared wolves that we can use our transponders, our GPS units, and find them. But then they'll count the uncollared wolves. We do an annual count, and last year we had 110 wolves. We expect with a number of litters that have had pups, we're going to increase that substantially this year. So the end of January, we'll report that count with our partners, New Mexico Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we don't know how much it will increase, but significantly because of the documented dens that had pups in them this year.
Well, the Mexican wolf reintroduction program, that's got to be close to 15 years old now, doesn't it?
98 was when the first wolves were released.
Down in the Blue.
That's right.
Okay, eastern Arizona, right along the New Mexico border.
Right, along the Mogollon Rim.
And when we reintroduced them, we were reintroducing them into a specific area.
Yep,
and it was kind of an agreement, a multi-agency agreement, that we're gonna raise them and see how they do in this area. Apparently, they've done well enough. We're gonna greatly expand that coverage now. Is that the plan?
Well, there have been some problems. There have been wolves that, when they're released, we call them naive wolves. They really didn't know how to live in the wild,
mm-hmm.
and so in looking for a meal, some of them chose a slow moving mammal like a cow or a calf and ate that.
They just happened to have a brand on it?
Yeah, and we removed those wolves. And there's one of the benchmarks of a recovery program is when all of your animals are wild born in the wild, mm-hmm. to wild parents. We've crossed that threshold now. And it's a major thing because when a wild wolf that chases deer and elk and other things raises pups, they learn to hunt. They learn how to live. They learn where to go and where not to go. And wolves really don't like being around human habitation. And livestock is not their first choice. They're a coursing animal, so they chase their prey and take it down. And they're better suited to elk and deer, and so there's less problems with wild-born, wild-raised wolves than there are with putting naive wolves out and hoping that they learn how to hunt in a wild setting. So
I was surprised the Wallow Fire didn't set that whole program much farther back.
You know, the Wallow Fire, we actually had denning wolves observed by firefighters. And those wolves were smart. They would grab their pups up when the fire got close and move them to another site. Wolves are a smart animal, and they are very attuned to their environment. But if you think about it, Rosie, you know, we blew out those headwaters where the fire burned 100% of the trees. But a lot of that fire was not all bad. I say that very carefully because it was a wildfire, and, you know, 530,000 acres, yeah. That's a big fire. But we had a lot of vegetation that grew up, so it was great for deer and elk.
Oh,
and turkeys.
Oh, the aspen reinvigoration is unbelievable up there right now.
So with forage, we saw major expansion of the deer, elk, and turkey, and other wild mammals too. So there was a kind of an uptick or a big pulse in available prey for the wolf.
Okay.
So short term, 3 years, yep, there were some problems.
Yeah.
But in the long run, we need to be copying Mother Nature and doing prescribed burning on a small scale so that we can keep that new available forage, that new growth coming up that's much more palatable and much more nutritious for wildlife.
I'm excited to see what it does to the grouse population. When we get back, I want to talk about a lake y'all are going to remove all the limits on. We can go catch as many as we want.
You bet.
And you're encouraging us to do that.
That's right.
All right. We'll talk about that right when we get back here with Jim Paxson, Special Assistant to the Director of the Arizona Game and Fish Department. If you'd like to join the conversation or have a question for Jim, feel free to give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348.